Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 54, The Marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Text number 45. Deha adyanta vanesha.
Deha adyanta vanesha.
Dravya prana gunatmakaha.
Dravya prana gunatmakaha.
Atmanya vidyaya kliptaha.
Atmanya vidyaya kliptaha.
Samsarayati dehinam.
Samsarayati dehinam.
Deha adyanta vanesha.
Deha adyanta vanesha.
Dravya prana gunatmakaha.
Dravya prana gunatmakaha.
Atmanya vidyaya kliptaha.
Atmanya vidyaya kliptaha.
Samsarayati dehinam.
Samsarayati
Deha adyanta vanishat. Dravya prana gunatmakaha. Atmanya vijaya kliptaha. Samsarayati dehinam. The material body. Adi. Beginning. Anta. And end.
Amen.
Van. Having. Eshaha. This. Dravya. Of the physical elements. Prana. The senses. Guna. And the primary modes of material nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Atmakaha. Composed. Atmani. On the self. Avidyaya. By material ignorance. Kliptaha. Imposed. Samsarayati. Causes to experience. The cycle of birth and death. Dehinam. An embodied being. This material body, which has a beginning and an end, is composed of the physical elements, the senses, and the modes of nature. The body, imposed on the self by material ignorance, causes one to experience the cycle of birth and death. Purport. The material body, composed of various material qualities, elements, and so on, attracts and repels the conditioned soul and thus entangles him in material existence. Because of our attraction and repulsion for our own body and other bodies, we establish temporary relationships, dedicate ourselves to great endeavours and sacrifices, concoct imaginary religions, make noble speeches, and thoroughly involve ourselves in material illusion. As Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage. Beyond the somewhat absurd theatre of material existence is the real and meaningful world of Krishna consciousness, the liberated life of pure souls devoted in loving service to the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, the material body is basically made up of these elements, dravya prana gunatmakaha. Krishna explains in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the nature of the material creation is such that there are two types of elements. Basically spiritual and material. Conscious and unconscious. The living entity is the conscious living entity, the active ingredient actually, which makes everything move, is considered superior because of consciousness. And the material energy is considered inferior because it lacks consciousness. It's not aware. But even though the even though the conscious living entity is superior, still, due to the tendency to want to exist separately from Krishna, then and wanting to take on a role of illusion or ignorance. Because there is only one supreme controller, that's Krishna. As explained by Lord Brahma, Ishvaraha Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha Anadya Adya Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the only cause of all causes. And he is the original personality, the supreme personality. But due to having independence, free will, if you like, the living entity can choose to accept, we can choose to accept our roles as servitors, or we can choose to try out being the supreme controller. But that's a state of ignorance, that's a state of illusion, it is not what we really are. But in order to do that, or in order to facilitate that, Krishna gives us an opportunity in the material realm to exercise our independence and have a go, have a shot at being, you know, the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer. We were having a chat at the Sunday program in Perth, and the topic was karma, and there were a number of people there, some students from India IIT in Delhi. And I was asking them the question, generally speaking, what motivates everybody to act? And one boy said it immediately, actually, very quickly. He said, I want to be happy. That's why I act. I want to be happy. And I said, but then what happens? Do you become happy? He said, no, I become unhappy. So, you know, we come into the material world with a desire to enjoy, but on the whole, if we're, you know, realistic and honest, we would have to say that our attempts at pleasure are somewhat limited. And in fact, you know, if we analyse the material well, we can see really it is a place of discomfort more than it is a place of leisure. So the living entity accepts a body, deha, adi, it has a beginning, anta, and it has an end, antavan, adi antavan. It has or possesses a beginning and an end, and of course what goes in between. Made up of the material elements, unconscious, basically. Dravya means bhumi rupo nalo vayu kammano buddhi reva cha, the material elements. Ahankaram ityam me bina prakriti ashtada, Krishna explains. Eight elements, gross elements if you like, those are the dravya. Then there's the prana. Here it's described, prana is described as the senses, which is somewhat they're subtle, more subtle than the gross material elements that make up the body. The knowledge acquiring senses and the working senses. And then these combined together, the material elements and then the subtle elements, the senses and so forth, mind, intelligence, false ego, they're combined together under the influence of the gunas, gunatmakaha, mentioned here. The primary modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. So the body is made up of these, here it's divided into three categories, basically. But the basic principle of this body is described in the third line, atmanya vidyaya kliptaha. It is basically and it's interesting, this word here, kliptaha, means imposed. Basically, the material body is an imposition on the living entity, because originally we're spiritual. We actually have a eternal position in the spiritual world. But at the moment, that's covered over, like we're asleep. Prabhupada gives the example. The living entity actually has a place in the spiritual realm. But it's as if he's fallen asleep. And of course, in a sleeping state, then, you know, he's dreaming so many things. Today I'm Napoleon Bonaparte, tomorrow I'm a dog, or whatever. It's imposed upon us as a result of this ignorance of yidyaya. So basically the material body is, its main premise is ignorance. Ignorance of our relationship with Krishna, ignorance of the fact that we are actually Krishna's servants. And of course, you know, it's manifest in this desire to want to try to enjoy and manipulate and control. And as Hridayananda Maharaj says here in the purport, you know, we create so many isms, so many illusions within our interactions, social interactions, as a result of this bodily identification. An attachment to the body, affection for the body, and then affection for those who are favourable to the body. And anybody who's not favourable to our particular body, then they become our enemies. So these relationships are all built, ultimately they're all built on ignorance. Because we're not the body. We're, what is it? Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prem, that's our original perfection, is in our spiritual identity. But we're acting as if madmen, right? We're actually playing out roles in illusion, thinking that we're something that we're not. This is called madness, right? Illusion, we're all mad. Because we're thinking, you know, today I am an Australian, tomorrow who knows. and previously so many lifetimes. Accepting the body of a dog, accepting the body of a demigod. But these things are always changing. But the power of the material energy, working under Krishna's direction, Daivihi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya, very difficult to overcome. So each time we take birth, then we're forced, that's what it says here, Kuttaha, it's imposed upon us. We're forced to think, yes, now I'm a demigod, I'm in control. Now I'm a dog or a whatever, animal species or plant species or even lower. And each time we take birth, we're forced to think in that particular way. And we're forced to identify under the influence of this ignorance. Of course, even though the body is based on a platform of ignorance, still it should be respected, especially the human form of life, or particularly the human form of life. Because the interesting thing is, in the human form of life, even though it is based on ignorance, it affords us an opportunity to get out of that ignorant situation. The human form of life is considered to be plavam sukalpam. It's described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Plavam sukalpam. Guru andakaram. There's a verse that we were reading yesterday in Perth. A really nice verse. Basically, plavam means a boat. And sukalpam means a boat within which you can fulfill your desires, or kalpam translated means suitable, or suitable for fulfilling desires, and sukalpam means exceptionally suitable. You know, it's the perfection actually to get to the human form of life, even though it is a state of ignorance. If we identify with the body, still that body affords us a unique opportunity to be able to get rid of the avidya or the ignorance. So it is meant to be taken advantage of. In a human form of life, we are given by Krishna many opportunities. The human body is considered to be a suitable boat, and Krishna's instructions and the instructions of the devotees and the instructions that Krishna gives within the heart as the super soul. So there's the Shastra, there are the sadhus, and then Krishna also is situated within the heart, and he's giving inspiration to the devotee. These are all considered to be favourable winds that are able to blow the boat towards the desirable destination. Of course, the destination for us is to go back home, back to Godhead. Just because we've got a material body doesn't mean we have to stay in that material body. Therefore, the human form of life is considered to be a great opportunity. But one has to know how to sail the boat properly. When you're in a boat, then you have to know how to actually set the sails and steer it, because you know you'll have your course, but the winds will be blowing in different directions. And then by setting the sails in the proper way, then you can catch the wind and get to your destination. So therefore, it is recommended in the human form of life. Actually, it is not just a recommendation. It is absolutely essential that one is able to take advantage of these favourable winds. And the way to do that is to set your sails according to the instruction of the captain of the boat. Of course, the captain of the boat is the spiritual master. So for everybody who has an opportunity especially in the human form of life, exclusively in the human form of life. You don't get that opportunity in the animal species. You don't get that opportunity in the plant species. You don't get that opportunity in the bird species or in the species of reptiles or below. But only in the human form of life do we get the opportunity to receive instructions from somebody who can actually guide us and instruct us so that we can take advantage of the favourable breezes that are coming from Krishna. Because, you know, practically speaking, if we analyse the behaviour of people within society today, then they're no better than animals. And that association is very powerful, actually. It influences devotees. We have the opportunity of engaging ourselves in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, and we have to strictly follow those instructions if we want to be effective. I used to go sailing with my friend Simon Fitzpatrick. He was the captain and I was the crew. It was his boat, so that was he had to be the captain. We used to have some great arguments over how to do things. But if you set the sails and steer everything properly and set it up, then you can go very quickly towards your destination. However, if you don't do things properly, then, you know, what will happen is the boat will tip over. You know, we had I can't remember what kind of a boat it was, but, you know, when the wind was right behind you, you could set up the spinnaker. So that's a big sail that you set up right on the front of the boat. And when the wind catches out and you've got a very strong wind, then the boat will go along very quickly, but it can tend, you know, it'll lean over. So the crewman has a trapeze which you hook on and you lean out from the boat. You actually stand out from the boat and you're hanging on for dear life to make sure that the boat doesn't tip over. But if you haven't got everything trimmed properly, then it's very easy to over you go, poof, and that's it. Out of the race. If you tip your boat over, then you're out of the race. So, you know, trimming the sails, steering the course, basically following the instructions of the spiritual master, you have to do it very strictly and very carefully. Otherwise, if you don't do it strictly and carefully, what happens? Over you go. And you don't get to your destination. So if one wants to take advantage of the human form of life, even if it is a state of ignorance, actually it's a great opportunity to get out of ignorance and come to a state of realization, self-realization. That's what the Vedas are for. Tamasi ma jyoti kama. Come out of the darkness and into the light. That way then we can cut away all of these, you know, illusions, if you like, that I am this body, that I am the son of so-and-so, that I am related to this one and that one, that I am an Australian or I am an Indian or whatever. Actually, we're none of those things. We're a pure spirit soul who has an eternal relationship with Krishna. But we have to be able to cut down that ignorance. So that's the method. The method is given to us. Of course, if we don't take advantage of it, then it's described in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita that one is actually atmaha, which means a killer of the soul. So if we're not following the instructions of the spiritual master, then we're in a precarious situation, because it means, and we're not taking advantage of the favourable breezes, the instructions that come from the Vedas, the inspiration that might come from Krishna, the instructions that come from the devotees, If we're not taking advantage of that, then it means then we're either not making steady progress to our destination, we may be going slowly or, you know, not on track, or worse still, we can be going in the other direction. We can be going away. Going back into ignorance. So in order to take advantage and to get free from this avidya or ignorance, one has to strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada has given us an opportunity to understand those instructions, the principles. Basically, the principles are given for us, and also details. It's interesting to look at the nectar of devotion, for example. There are 64 items of devotional service, right? And Rupa Goswami describes those items. The first 10 items are positive things to do, basically. But then there's another 10 items, things that you shouldn't do. Then on top of that, in the next, 44, right? There are many descriptions. Don't do this, don't do that. Offences to be avoided. So the process of devotional service is actually very exacting. It's a science, in other words. If we follow it strictly, then we'll get the result. But if we don't follow it strictly, if we follow it in an ambivalent kind of a way and don't take it seriously, then we won't get the result. Very simple. And then what happens is, and we see that for the devotees often, then what happens, the ignorance comes back again, the avidya comes back. One becomes familiar with devotees, one becomes familiar with the process of devotional service, and, you know, from that familiarity comes foolishness, contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. And contempt is sort of like, what's that, pride, I suppose. Ignoring the instructions. But if one wants to be successful in removing the ignorance, then one has to take shelter. Actually, it's mentioned that if one wants to take one wants to get Krishna's mercy, then one has to follow basically in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. And of course the six Goswamis teach us the very detailed process of devotional service, and of course Prabhupada has given us those instructions pretty much in the Nectar of Devotion. And that's why Prabhupada calls the Nectar of Devotion the law book for ISKCON, because within that, within the Nectar of Devotion, we've got all of these, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Do this, you know, it's very clearly defined. Then one will be able to get free from this samsara and dehinam, samsara yati dehinam. The experience of birth and death and then repeat, which generally we don't want to do. Well, at least theoretically we think we don't want to do it. But it's interesting, because what I've noticed happens is The less we apply ourselves to devotional service, the more the material desires come up. And then when the material desires come up, then we get bewildered. But the more we stick to the process of devotional service, then the material desires come down. And our appreciation for the process increases. And our love for Krishna starts to manifest. You know, we become very enthusiastic to engage in devotional service. We become happy. So, it's recommended that we take advantage of the human form of life and advantage of Krishna's facilities that he's given us so that we can get out of this ignorance and follow the instructions of the spiritual master, follow the instructions of the Shastra and take inspiration from Krishna's guidance. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
You mentioned that if you don't follow regulation, your devotional service and spiritual life.
If we don't follow...
accept spiritual life.
Yes.
And do sinful activities.
Yeah.
And that will be filling our soul.
Yes.
So what exactly this word, filling our soul, refers to? Soul can be destroyed. That is eternal. So what
the soul can't be destroyed.
Yeah. How can we keep soul? What this word
okay. What it means is that our understanding of our spiritual identity will be lost. So that's considered as good as killing the soul. Right? And killing the soul means forcing it to take birth again in another body, wherein it will again identify with that body. Right? Avidya, ignorance. So, as I mentioned, each one of us has an original spiritual identity, which at the moment is covered. So in that sense, when we cover over our original spiritual identity, then we're killing ourselves. Right? Well, not, of course, we understand that the spirit soul can't be killed, is eternal. But that's the beginning. Right? That's the beginning of spiritual understanding, is to understand the eternality of the soul. But there's more to it than that. There's the identity of the spiritual person, the spiritual persona, if you like, our original spiritual identity, which exists already for us in the spiritual realm. It's just at the moment it's covered over. Right? And according to the different species of life, different degrees of covering. There's that verses in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita which describe how lust covers the original spiritual identity of the living entity. And there's three examples given: the embryo covered by the womb, the mirror covered by dust, and the fire covered by smoke. And so the embryo covered by the womb, we know there's a living entity in there, but you can't see his identity. Right? That's considered to be like the plant species. We can see the plants, but we can't appreciate the personality or the character of the soul in a tree. Right? Even though the spirit soul's there, we can't really appreciate the character. The tree just stands, you know, in the whole day. He's doing something, but...
So it's like out of our free will, we are not letting our soul go back to your head. So that is killing our soul.
Right? Yes, yes. The covering, we willfully cover our spiritual identity, believe it or not. Why would we want to do that? Why do we do that? This is called ignorance. Heavy, heavy coverings of ignorance. Due to our desire actually to want to be separate from Krishna. We can never be separate from Krishna. It's not possible to be separate from Krishna at all. But even though we're never ever separated from Krishna at the moment, we've lost contact with him. Even though he's around us all of the time, he's with us all of the time, still we've lost contact with him because of our desire. And we've turned away from Krishna. Interesting. So that's what it means, yes. Atmaha. To kill the soul means to cover over the spiritual identity and then get caught up again in this birth, this body, next birth, another body, and on, based on that desire to be independent. The soul? The prana? How is it linked to the soul? Well, I would... here's my understanding. The prana is a symptom of the presence of the soul within the body. Because when the soul leaves, then there's no life force anymore. Right? But it manifests through these different energies, if you like. And prana, you know, there's... Prabhupada describes in the Bhagavad Gita how there are different airs within the body that push things up and push things down and, you know, basically keep the whole machinery working. It's just, as far as a simple understanding, or my simple understanding is basically that's a symptom of the soul's presence within the body, because as soon as the soul's gone, then what have you got? You've got the gross elements, but no action. But here it's described as senses. It's much more complex than that. But here's the thing. One of the reasons why the devotees go out of their way to engage people in some form of devotional service, why we go out and chant Hare Krishna, for example, is because even just a little bit of contact with devotional service can save a person from having to be born again in the animal species. Amazing. Prabhupada gives the example that devotional service is like a poison. If you administer it, then it will, you know, a powerful poison, if you administer it to somebody, it will kill them. So devotional service is so powerful that if we administer it to people, even though they don't know it, it will act. And it will actually begin to destroy their material existence and create their spiritual advancement. So Krishna mentions in the second chapter. Is it third? Second chapter. Nehabi Kramanaso Sti Pratyavayo Navijate. Second chapter. Yeah. Yeah. That just being engaged in devotional service, a little bit of devotional service can save one from the greatest fear, Mahabhayat, which is, Prabhupada explains, is falling down into the animal species. So pretty much for the devotees, they won't have to take birth in the animal species, which is really ignorance. Right? I mean, you have rare examples. Bharat Maharaj took birth as a deer, right? But he wasn't an ordinary deer. He actually had a remembrance of his previous life, and he stayed in an ashram where the sages were always discussing the Bhagavatam and, you know, Krishna consciousness. So even though he was in the animal species of life, still he had the consciousness, practically speaking, of a human being. So he was then again able to take up his devotional service by hearing, right? So this is why we give people prasadam, give them literature, give the holy name, is because just by a little bit of association with those spiritual energies that come from that, then a person can be saved from real, you know, ignorance in the animal species. This is the power of devotional service. How potent it is. And so therefore, agyata sukriti is a preliminary stage of devotional service, where a person is engaged in Krishna's service, but unknowingly he hears the holy name or takes prasadam. He's serving Krishna, but unknowingly. But still, even though it's unknowing, it has an effect. Very powerful effect. Anything else? In the human form of life. We've almost made it to the human form of life. But you know, if you look at the way that society behaves, actually we can see that they haven't got to the human form of life yet. They're hell bent on, you know, getting to the animal species. It's quite amazing when you think about it. Extremely. And it's potent too, because it pretty much has everybody in its grip. Okay, Kuntiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.